Om Shanti. Good morning. You can come close. It seems like it's just a chit-chat time. So this morning we've been given a chance to be together with no specific topic. Yeah? And so I thought it'll be a wonderful opportunity just to look back at the last few weeks and certain signals that Baba and the Dadis have offered so that we can go into the depth of them. The nice thing about the month of January is that it's a special time of special help. Any effort that I want to make firm for the year, you know, previously once Baba said in the Murli that whatever it is that you want to do, make it firm in this month of January. It's the month of special avyak sustenance, a time of special gifts from Baba. And so whatever I make firm in this month, it becomes a gift for me for the whole year. And so just really to look at our time here in Madhuban and just to see how do I make this time well used during this period of time. I've been thinking a lot about what Baba had said on the 25th Murli about not making ordinary effort and not to be ordinary. And I was thinking how in this Brahmin life there's such an amazing opportunity, such an amazing space to do wonderful things, because the best gift of understanding we have is the gift of knowing that we are just consciousness. And as I am just consciousness, I'm not bound by time and space. One sister was leaving now and she was saying, I'm leaving Madhuban. And you could feel that, you know how it goes. It was feeling a little heavy there. And I was saying that one practice that Baba had given, which has helped me a lot, is every day I visit Madhuban. No matter which way I am, every day with my being of consciousness, I arrive in Baba's room in Pandav Bhavan. Every day. And you know, if you make the practice firm, you can be there. You don't have to worry about place, because your place is fixed. You can go every day to Baba's hut. You can go every day to the Tower of Peace. It's the beautiful sustenance that we feel. And that's the beauty of being consciousness. If I'm just consciousness, I'm not bound. Yeah? Baba says you can be wherever you want to be, for how long you want to be. And this is the beauty of this time. Yeah? This morning Baba was saying, take care not to go into wrong company. But the greatest company that I feel is the company with our intellect. And where do I spend time? You know, there's a lot of facility and technology available today that you can keep up with Madhuban timetable, you know, quite easily. But do I arrive here? Do I arrive every day? Like I go and meet Baba in the subtle region, do I arrive in Madhuban? You know, sometimes you can be here, but not really here. And so the beauty of this time, when Baba saying do not make ordinary effort, I was feeling there's some simple practices, very, very simple practices of how do I keep those practices firm. And one of them is each day, especially during this time, to ask myself, how much have I taken the fullness of Baba's drishti. You know, now is the time for subtle effort. It's not the time for gross effort. And ordinary effort equals gross effort. But when I'm making subtle effort, then something else is happening. So how much at Amrit Vela do I drink Baba's drishti? You know, yesterday we met Daddy, both the Daddies. It was a magical time, eh? And if we looked at the radiance on Daddy Gulzar's face, yeah, those eyes and just the radiance of the face, what's happening there? There's a magic happening. And these are the moments that we have to tune into. You know? The beauty of the confluence age is I understand Baba's drishti and I take the fullness of that drishti. How often can I just sit in front of God's eyes and really let my inner being be changed? And it's not about 5 minutes, it's not about 10 minutes. It's like somebody in your life that you love. Their eyes will tell you everything, isn't it? You look into their eyes and there's signals of just what's next. There's signals of how much you are loved. There's signals of being having a sense of belonging. There's a signal of knowing what's your next step. And such is Baba's eyes. And how often in my yoga, especially during this time, when I'm moving from ordinary effort to subtle effort, how much do I let Baba's drishti guide me? How much do I allow that energy of Baba's drishti to make me become still? How much does Baba's drishti melt those stubborn sense scars that pop up every now and again? And so we have this magical time when we are here in Madhuban to just take that fullness of Baba's drishti. The not making murli ordinary. And it's one thing to take the murli and to say, yes, I've studied the murli each day. But the subtlety is that there's a conversation that begins each day. One of the practices that has helped me a lot over the years is I have a journal in which I talk to Baba and it's like the murli talks back to me. So I have two color pens. I have a purple pen and I have a red pen. And I have a nice journal. And each day, I use the murli to guide me for my next step. And allow Baba's murli to speak to me. And I find so much a level of subtlety in which Baba wants the soul to take its next step comes alive. You know? This is a living moment with God, which will not exist any other time of the cycle. Through the rest of the cycle, it's a memory. At the confluence, it's a living moment. So if it's the living moment at this time, how much do I let Baba's words echo? I let those words linger on and make me feel special. And so to make that murli alive and also to take it to its subtlety. Words turn into feelings, turn into a vibration, and those vibrations bring shifts. And so how much do I allow Baba's murli to do those things for me? It needs to go deeper and deeper and deeper till it turns into a vibration. It's when it reaches a deep sense of vibration, then I can bring a shift. Because otherwise I'm still listening to the Murli with its level of grossness. Yeah. And so Baba wants to tell me something every day. He's really committed to my journey. He's really committed to my next step. He's really committed to allow me to become what I am, what I truly am. And so I find just over a period of time, really to move from the grossness, because human tendency is to make the extraordinary ordinary. And what we have to do now is to make the ordinary extraordinary. Yeah. So here's this most magical moment where Baba speaks the Murli to me each day. And just allowing that to linger in till it changes a feeling inside. Because shifts in the soul can only come when it touches subtlety. Because we are the most subtle beings. You know, Baba saying, I'm the most subtlest of the subtle. And as beings of energy, we are very subtle. So I can't make entry for transformation out of a gross energy field. I'll just miss the point. I could be busy, but the effort is not bringing deep change because it's not from a space of subtlety. Words have a certain energy, but those words then turn into a vibration, and those vibrations shift. Like an injection. You know? Ordinariness and making effort special also comes from just the quality of my day. Many of us are in the workplace. We have a lot of interactions. And just to allow that space to become very special. You know, recently before I came to Madhuban, I was working on a project and it was to do with juvenile prisoners. And I went a few times to the holding cells where these juvenile prisoners are. And the conditions of these prisons are horrific. You know, the vibration of that place is quite horrific. And I was there in this place and I thought, Baba, I must be here for a very specific reason. Yeah? And the warden still said to me, he called me Mama, that's how they talk in South Africa. He said, Mama, this place is not for you. You must go. It's very intense here. And I said, but I need to do what I have to do. And he said, but it's very dangerous. And I said, yes, I'm aware. And it was very interesting, very, very interesting, of just knowing that Baba gives us such a powerful tool that we can use. Some of the people that I knew that were in the holding cell, they were waiting trial. And some of these people were guilty. And other people were not guilty. They were waiting for their sentence. And I remember speaking to this one young man, and he was absolutely terrified. I could see how frightened he was being in that cell. Because it's really, really intense. And I knew I couldn't do anything else to help him. But really to surround him with Baba's light. And I knew that if I wanted to make a difference, I had to become subtle. Because the drama around me was very gross. But in order to reach that drama, I needed to be subtle. The place was dirty, the place was very intense in vibration, many different vibrations that one was surrounded by. But I just remember and just very deeply felt that my deepest practice of soul consciousness is to become purely light and really to envelop these souls in light. And so the one person asked me, so I am in trouble now. How do I get out? And there's one way is the physical way, where yes, he has to go to court and there was no money for bail and all these things were there. But how do you help someone to turn inside to gain back their power so that they can shift their drama? Because you can't shift anyone's drama for someone, isn't it? We cannot change another soul's drama, but we can teach them and we can empower them how to strengthen themselves and change the drama of their life. And so again, moving from gross strategies to a more subtle space and understanding what can be done. So I said to this young man, many, many years ago, my mentor had said to me that if you meet God at 4, He'll help you settle your karma. So he said, 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, yep, that's the time. And you know the beautiful thing till today? Well, two of them, the one that was innocent, he's now out of prison because he was able to shift with his inner self. But I still keep in touch with many of these prisoners. And the one called me the other day and he said, Mama, I meet God at 4 every morning. Yeah? So, you know, we know the magic of Amrit Vela, and especially in the 30th Murli, Baba had shared very deeply about the power of Amrit Vela. Yeah? And yes, we need to be diplomatic in the way we share it, but provide souls the tools that has set us free. There's no way that somebody can finish their karma until they have a connection, so that they can fill themselves to shift their karma. Yeah? And so, on the one level, in our own efforts, just to develop that deep sense of subtlety, so that I can shift the drama of my life, but also to help souls. And today, we can't talk too much, because when souls are in pain, when people are in sorrow, they can't listen. The mind is too noisy to listen. So when people can't listen, we at that time have to become a lot more subtle. And Baba was saying, don't be ordinary, meaning just we need to pump up our frequency so that we can reach them. You know? I cannot make entry with somebody who's in an ordinary space with my ordinary energy. I need to have a higher frequency. Only that which has a higher frequency will have power of something that has a lower frequency. And so the more and more my energy is at a higher level, the more and more I'm going to be able to have impact. And so not to underestimate this power that Baba has been saying, you know, when Baba came for Diwali, Baba said, you are the living lights, Deepak. Yeah? And just this whole feeling, I loved it when Baba came and said, this is who you are. You are living lights. You are Deepaks. Yeah? And so, it's not about an effort that I just make. It's a light that I have to shine. And you know, if a light is lit anywhere, and if there's darkness, that light will draw you. Yeah? There's a place that's totally dark, and there's a small light shining somewhere, that light will pull your attention. And so more and more my consciousness has to become lighter and lighter and brighter and brighter. And what does bright light mean? It means a light of purity and a light of happiness. Yeah. The more the light of my being is bright, the purity is shining and the joy is shining. And the more the purity and the joy is shining, the more and more I can have influence. Yeah. Yesterday we just looked at Dadi's face and it did the work, isn't it? You didn't have to listen too much. You just felt the vibration and you just felt deeply the radiance and the subtlety. And so within our journey as well, the more and more I create this deep sense of subtleness, things begin to happen. Madhuban is a very powerful time where things happen in a natural way because we are surrounded by such pure energy. But Baba has made us instruments to go back there and serve. And so if I need to go back there and serve, my vibration has to be of a very different kind. The other aspect about not making ordinary effort, so the first area is just deeply with the self. Let me allow the silence to grow. Natural silence. It's not about being quiet. It's about being still. So the more and more I am still, because many people can be physically quiet and very noisy. You know? So how can I be very still inside and allow the subtlety of my being to just increase? And the more I develop the subtlety, the more the capacity of the soul will open. Baba is the benefactor father, the one who holds such a powerful energy of benevolence, Kalyankari. He's a benevolent one. Only when I step into my subtlety can I allow my capacity to open to be benevolent. Because benevolence requires a very deep, deep space. A very anchored space inside that holds full capacity. And so at this time, Baba is encouraging us to be benevolent. I remember last year sometime in the Avyak Murli, Baba was sharing that the drama is the drama, but you are the child of the benefactor father. So your duty is to bring benefit. Yeah. That point really touched my heart, that the drama is the drama, and yes, we have to play our roles within the drama, but the part that I have at the confluence age is that I'm the child of the benefactor father. And so, if I really want that energy to flow, I need to become subtle. I need to become silent. I need to become still. And then the energies begin to flow. In response to the drama, again the whole aspect of not being ordinary in my response to the drama. At this time, we need to become very quiet and very wise the way we respond to the drama. The drama has become delicate. The drama has got high speed. Things in the drama are happening suddenly. Whatever needs to be settled is happening now, suddenly. And so the drama is the drama. And what is going to happen in the drama is happening. But I need to become a lot more silent, and I need to become a lot more wise the way I respond to the drama. And again, let me not be ordinary in my thinking when I respond to the drama. Each day, Baba fills our energy space with such elevated consciousness. And the drama is a response to my vibration. That's what the drama is, you know. The way I think, the way I feel, I am the creator of my drama. So whenever, instead of changing something out there, let me change the inside, and the drama around me will change. I see how often, especially in the last few months, before coming to Madhuban, just back in on the service field and in the things that had to be done, I saw the intensity of the drama. Just whether it was people's pain and sorrow, or whether it was just the energy of this time towards the end of the year in the drama. And yet the beautiful thing is, when I was coming to Madhuban and I was recollecting my year, just the feeling how much the drama cooperated with me. It's not about the obvious. This Brahman life is not about the obvious. There's one thing that happens on the external, but there's another thing that happens internally. And if I look at the external, there can be many questions. There can be feelings of loss. There could be feelings of unjust. There can be all these feelings that can come, because the drama physically shows itself in a certain way. And yet at this time, I really find that if you're quiet and if you watch the drama properly, you realize how much the drama wants to care for you. I really find that at the confluence age, when I hold a certain energy, then Baba and drama conspires to support my journey. And sometimes it's not obvious. It's not something that you notice physically, but yet it's happening very powerfully. And so how do I interact with this drama in an extraordinary way and not become ordinary? When I become ordinary means I start worrying, I feel the tension, I feel overwhelmed by the drama, I get involved with the drama, I think too much, I have thoughts of certain things being in a different way. But, you know, the drama has a plan. The other day there was just a beautiful moment that I felt whilst I was sitting up, whilst the Murli was being read. Just the feeling that the drama, God and the drama is a plan for me. And that plan is unfolding right now. and I'm watching the plan unfold. So one is able to step into that drama in a very extraordinary way. So very beautiful things can happen. And so Baba was talking about on the 25th of just really intensifying our effort and not being ordinary. I just really find that when we step into that deep sense of subtlety, then magic begins to happen. Especially in our relationships. You know, I think sometimes one of the greatest challenges that many Brahmins still do face, whether they want to admit it or not, is that they still hold suppression in relationships. Many will say, no, no, I'm very fine. Everything is okay. And that's okay. But there is a reality. And that is that at times within relationships, our aim is that relationships should be good, but there's still a gap. And how do I change that? Again, it's about changing the ordinary into the extraordinary. And one of my greatest help that I found in relationships, the greatest help was two aspects. One is patience. Given the chance, every soul has the ability to offer you their best. Given the chance, every soul has the opportunity to offer you the best. But I need to wait and check in that period of time to see how do I wait patiently. You know, some people say, I'm so patient in a relationship, but inside there's still a frustration. Inside there's still an expectation. Inside there's still not the highest respect for the other person. So my patience will be able to work powerfully when I still hold the highest respect. I have belief in that person. And I allow the drama to unfold in that way. And it's incredible. The relationship will turn into a very dignified moment. Because ultimately we are the souls that are going to be with each other throughout the whole cycle. And so we cannot force relationships, but we need to really serve relationships with deep, deep patience. One of the deepest gifts that Dadi Prakashmani offered me, which till today I value deeply, was Dadiji's ability to give respect. You know, I really felt in Dadiji there was such an amazing truth. I've always appreciated this energy of truth in Dadiji. But the manifestation of that truth was respect. When you hold deep truth, your interaction with another soul will be filled with respect. And I remember once Dadi was saying, and she helped me a lot with that. I said to Dadi, Dadi used to sit in the courtyard in Pandavabhavan, yeah? I don't know if you remember, is to listen to the Murli in Om Shanti Bhavan. And after Murli, as you came into the courtyard, Dadiji used to sit there and Mohini Ben used to sit there. And it was a beautiful time to say good morning to them. A very beautiful scene of the confluence age. And once I asked Daddy, I said to Daddy, you portray such amazing truth to me. If I had to look at somebody physically who inspired me towards truth, it's you. And as I said to Daddy, how do you live your truth? And she said, respect. Because if truth is spoken on the backdrop of respect, then that truth will be heard. If truth is spoken without the backdrop of respect, it's hard for people to digest. Yeah? And so, a very, very valuable lesson that I found that Daddy had shared with me, which till today supports me a lot, is just this whole aspect of, in relationships, respect first, task secondary. You know? Respect first, task secondary. Sometimes in ordinary consciousness, we want to get things done. Yeah? When we say, well, I've got lots to get done, we've got things to do. But in subtle consciousness, I realize that it's actually the energy of respect that will get things done much more significantly and much more powerfully than just being action-orientated. And therefore, if I make relationships first and tasks secondary, then there will always be power. Yeah. Also, understanding within relationships and not going into ordinariness is to be very deeply secure inside. When I don't feel secure inside, I look at the drama outside and I look at the people outside. I look at other souls and they begin a certain level of thinking to be activated in my being. But when I feel inwardly secure, at a very genuine level, at a very, very real and genuine level, when there's a deep, deep sense of inner security, then I have a very beautiful response to the two relationships. Because souls are different, sanskars are different, their parts are different. But I have to play my part. And let me play my part peacefully, powerfully, and let me not compromise who I am in order to bring greater benefit. You know? And I need to ask myself, do I feel inwardly secure enough not to compromise who I am and what it is that I have to offer? If you look at Daddy Janki, such an inspiration. That even in the midst of all the tests that are coming, even with the body, even with the age, whatever it may be, Daddy is so inwardly secure that there's no hesitation in the part that she has to play right now. And she has not compromised who she is and what she has to offer, even though the drama around may be complex. Yeah. And so, in ordinary effort, I I still get influenced by this drama and I compromise what it is that I have to offer. No? And never to mix role and part. We have certain roles to play in the drama and play them well, but never ever forget your part. Your part is much bigger. Your part is with God. Your part is right now with Bab Dada. Your part is with your highest fortune. Your part is with the divine family. Your part is with the right timing. This is the part that I have at the confluence age. And so not to become ordinary and not to get caught up in my role and my part. Because my roles can still make me play my part, so-called, in an ordinary way. But I'm not my role. I'm this elevated soul with an elevated part. And so when Baba was saying to make our efforts extraordinary and not get ordinary, means really to deepen this deep, deep sense of inner security. You know, somebody asked me, are you talking about self-respect? And I'm saying even your self-respect has to create a security. You know? One is knowing who you are, but you need to be very secure in who you are so that you can be natural. You can be real. You can flow when the drama creates challenges. And when the drama becomes intense, you can flow within it. You can stay light. Many years ago, Baba had said to me that you are a happy soul. And even if you don't want to be happy, you'll be happy. And I thought, okay. I first thought it was something about the translation, yeah? So I asked Shilu Ben, because that time Shilu Ben used to translate. And I said to Shilu Ben, because I was reading after, you know, Baba had given the blessing. I was in front of Baba in Om Shanti Bhavan, and Baba had said to me that you are a happy soul. And even if you don't want to be happy, you'll be happy. So that night when I went back to sleep and I was thinking about what Baba had said to me, the next morning I went to Shilu Ben and I said, you made sure you translated properly, no? She said, yes, I have translated properly. And so just that whole feeling, you know, Baba had said, you are a happy soul. And so that's the part. You know? Regardless of the roles we have to play. And I remember a time in my drama, a few years after coming to Baba, the soul struggled. You know, I came to Baba so intoxicated and just everything was flowing. And then a few years later, my sanskars came and said, hello, you know. And I thought, okay. And, you know, you can look at those sanskars and think, here's such an amazing time with God, and why are you keep popping up? And so then, that's the time when you have to look a little bit more deeper. And Baba's words supported me a lot, just saying that no matter what, you will be happy. So even though I didn't feel like being happy, I knew I had to be happy. And just holding that energy and keeping that energy alive was amazingly powerful. And so when we move from the ordinary into an extraordinary space, it really means to keep this deep, deep inner security of our part. Because according to how I see my part, according to my energy of inner security, according to the stillness of my being, according to the lightness of my being, according to the subtlety of my being, my frequency will stay high. And only when my frequency stays high, that the drama won't touch me. It's like a plane. You know, even in science, they have the wisdom that when a plane takes off, it first reaches altitude, reaches height, and then it can cruise. It doesn't keep going down and saying, I'll reach my height just now, because there's atmospheric pressure. Similarly, in the morning, when at Amrit Vela, I make my frequency high by keeping the level of my consciousness elevated. And therefore, Amrit Vela is the most powerful time. And when I keep that frequency high at Amrit Vela, then during the day, the atmospheric pressure, and in spiritual terms, the pressure of the drama becomes lesser and lesser. And then I'm able to cope better. And to stay light, sometimes, we think too much. And in gross thinking, there's many thoughts. In subtle thinking, there's fewer thoughts. Lighter thoughts. Happier thoughts. Purer thoughts. Loving thoughts. Peaceful thoughts. Because it's ultimately a vibration. And so, when that energy is right, then I can be an intense effort maker. And Baba's talking about attention. And again, attention is really, I remember once I learned very powerfully about, when I heard first the word intense effort maker, I thought, it's rather intense. And I'm not that kind of a person. I quite chilled. And I thought, intense effort maker, okay, Baba. And Sister Denise helped me so much. I remember talking to Sister Denise and I said, Baba's talking about intense effort making. And she explained the word so beautifully. And she said, Baba talks about tirva purushatti. And basically meaning also to close the gap between the moments that happen. So something that happened and took you half an hour to resolve in your head should now take you 5 minutes to resolve in your head. So it's closing the gap between the scene and your response and your stillness that comes. And so the more and more I make intense effort in that way, I'm closing the gap. So that I'm not spending that much time in the grossness of the moment. Because anything that's subtle is able to finish. And also subtlety in my effort means that I leave no residue. You know, when an angel comes, and if an angel goes, there's no left behind. Just a vibration. And so the more and more my efforts become subtle, I do not leave a residue. That means if I come into a space, let me do what I need, but let me go out of that space clean. I remember, and I'm sure you all experience this, but sometimes these days we see how the scenes of the drama get so quick and intense. I remember once there was somebody who I knew who was fine and then got sick and then left the body. And then I had to go and help clear out. And it really made me think a lot that how do I live my life that somebody who has to clear out after me finds everything that I have to be a gift rather than a burden. I remember packing away all these things for the sister. And I mean, you know, everything. And just the feeling of this was a true yogi. Because when I opened her cupboards, because I had to pack away things, everything that she owned, every book I opened because I needed to know what to do with it, many things that I was exposed to offered me a gift of a yogi. You know? And it was a very deep lesson for me in that scene of the drama to say, do I live my life in such a way that behind me is a residue of gifts rather than a residue of burden? That somebody doesn't have to clear up behind me and say, oh no, not even this. Yeah? And never let them be surprised, thinking, oh, they even had this. Yeah? But let my life be so transparent and so clear and clean that if somebody has to step in after that, they only feel gifts. So when Baba talked about ordinariness, I really resonated with this energy because I feel deeply inspired at the moment to increase the subtlety of my being. Because, you know, if I feel so inspired by our dadis. But more and more you can feel it's this subtle energy that is vibrating so angelically. And that is reaching the soul like an injection. And so if I need to feel that, how do I do it? Okay. Om Shanti. Do you have any thoughts, anything you'd like to add, anything you'd like to ask? Thank you for asking that question. How do I know that I am suppressing or I have suppressed energies in a relationship? You know, sometimes in our Brahman life, we're supposed to be happy. Yeah, and so very often souls do not admit that actually I'm suffocating inside. I think for me always an indicator that I'm in a healthy space is my intellect. And especially when I am trying to remember Baba, I find that if there's an energy of suppression, the first thing is that soul will have a hold on your intellect. Even if it just means it comes and goes, because sometimes we are quite clever in the way we respond to those moments. We say, no, no, it's okay. But they have a quiet hold on your intellect. And if they are having a hold on your intellect, it's something that you have to look at. Because that intellect can be held very quietly. The second sign for me is that if there is suppression, there's a feeling of a burden. And it's very quiet. It's maybe not so loud. But as soon as that soul is not in your energy field, there's a lightness. Yeah? When they're not in your energy field, there's a lightness. When they're in your energy field, you may not feel suppressed by them, but they definitely create a hold, an energy, a burdened or a heavier feeling. Yeah. The third sign for me of being suppressed is when I compromise my part. Sometimes a soul can have such an influence on you and you don't realize that you have compromised your part of the confluence age. And I often look at it and realize that such a soul has had a hold over me. They may not be in any way nasty to you. It may not be dramatically intense, the relationship, but there's definitely a hold. Another aspect is that you will still try to please them. There's a difference between being a server and being a pleaser. And so when the relationship is healthy, there'll be cooperation and a feeling of natural interaction that is serving one another. But when there is some level of imbalance and suppression, then even my good energy towards that soul will be to please them rather than to serve them. So I found in my own journey, really looking at the relationships in my life and really wanting there to be a naturalness, a healthy feeling, so that in the midst of everything, the soul, for me, the indicator in my Brahman life that I'm in a good space, I'm in a healthy space, is the quality of my intellect. Because my intellect is the filter between me and God and me and the world. And if that filter is anyway clogged or blocked, means something is not healthy. You know, it's like somebody asked once, even on the level of attachment, because at times when you are attached, you can be in denial. You know? You say, no, I'm not attached. It just feels like that, but I'm not attached. You know? But soon as there's a level of attachment, your intellect gets locked. Your intellect gets influenced. And then try and look into Baba's eyes and take clean drishti from Baba. And you'll find it hard because that soul or that energy will keep pulling you. So if I want to have a subtle check of my attachments and my suppressions, for me the two indicators are my intellect and really looking into Baba's eyes. A lot of my chart in the mirror of my journey is really just looking into Baba's eyes and with that honesty seeing what's needed. Anything else? Anything you'd like to add? One of the things that I've always felt and I've experienced in my journey is that each soul, no matter who they are, is a gift in my life. If I look into my own Brahman life, The souls that really made me grow haven't been Brahmins. They haven't. I've had lovely relationships with Brahmins, but the souls that made me look at my truth and made me open my capacity to understand that God is a benevolent being and He loves all has not been souls that were just in the Brahmin family. And I have grown. As you asked me the question, I looked at a few souls who came up on my radar. None of them are Brahmins, but they are really special souls. They are good souls at this time in the cycle. And I think it's about that drishti, and it's about that attitude. Because right now, there are many very important souls in this cycle of time that are helping this process of transformation. And they may not be clad in white and have a shawl around them, but their hearts are very benevolent. And they've had the capacity to reach out loudly. And I think for me, it's always been that awareness of just thinking really on this level that souls out there are none less. We have a special part to play, but souls out there have an equally important part to play. And long as I see that each soul is there to add to my growth, no. And in any case, I always remind myself, Dipti, you've got a lot of work to do on yourself, so leave them alone. Let them do what they have to do, because we've got a lot of inner work to do ourselves, you know. And so I find that when the attention is on the self and the attitude is clean and benevolent towards others, they respond to you in that way as well. No? And again, for me, it goes on to this level of inner security. When you are deep in your inner security, then there isn't room for judgment, because each soul is playing their part. No? But really, in my Brahmin life, I have grown through the challenge of the world, who beckoned my call to say, rise up to who you are. And I thank them for today, because they put me into a higher gear to say, come on, you can do it, by not even knowing that's what they were doing to me. So enjoy these extraordinary moments of the confluence. And really, I find for myself, I like to keep a chart. I go in like an inner bhati. So my first bhati was 3 months of no expectations. It was very powerful. I enjoyed it. Second time I went into a bhati of inner security. And after Baba spoke for me, my inner bhati for the next 3 months is on not being ordinary in my consciousness. And I enjoy this 3 month period because I take it on as a bhati for myself. And I give myself 3 months in which I really go deep and observe myself and look at the different levels of ordinariness and do the work of transformation. So enjoy your extraordinary space.